If you will declare, Father, I thank you.
I thank you.
That I have eyes that see.
That I have eyes that see.
Ears that hear.
Ears that hear.
And my spirit does perceive.
And my spirit does perceive.
You're talking.
You're talking.
To me. I want to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit, when he begins a work in us, it is a work in progress. And he doesn't quit just because we have a challenge. So, you know, be kind to each other as you have learned to become. And be interdependent. Part of the challenge I find that many Christians go through is that the darkness wants you to isolate. He wants you to pull the covers over your head, feel sorry for yourself, and let yourself die as quickly as possible. And if you need to help yourself out a little bit, then use whatever means that he can actually get you to agree with. But I want to go back to Romans 8 because that was the press. So I want you to check in with Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Well, there's your death again. And it's a law. See, the enemy has this tool that God took the keys from through Christ. And the enemy used those keys for a long time. But then when Jesus got a hold of those keys, he said, "Look to me." Now, I'm not saying that death is something that I'm looking forward to. At one time in my life, it was planned, pre-planned. I paid double indemnity insurance for my family, and I picked out the abutment that I was going to use because it needed to be an accidental death to double the amount of money. So you see, depression was a friend. And I entertained that friend for a long time. When you say you're paying out each month an accidental death insurance for many thousands, it was what the world would call a wise decision. See, because the pressures were that kind. They were that deep. Now, you say, why are you explaining it now? Well, it's because some of you have tasted some of that. And I don't want you to live there anymore because it's not a good agreement. Okay? It's not a godly agreement. Amen. The keys of life and death are in the hands of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Those keys are his. So he's the author and finisher. And I can quote one of my spiritual fathers who irritated me many, many times in multiples of levels. And I remember one evening where he said, guys, if God should choose to allow death to take me ahead of schedule, I want you to walk on my corpse and keep going. Mm. That was the first statement that Royal ever spoke that shook me to the core. If I make a mistake, don't you dare buy that mistake as a reason to quit.
Come on.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Come on.
That was his commission to us. And I'll be honest with you, how many know your fanny can literally vibrate?
Vibrate. Just a moment.
That's the truth.
Just a moment.
I could not sit still. I was vibrating. Every fiber of my being was like,
that's
whoa.
That's a good visual.
Yes. Yes,
now, come on. You know that there are times that you shake everywhere.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Well, there's vibrations involved in shaking. I know.
I'm the only one who didn't laugh. I was like, oh, yeah, it's valid. Like, I'm the only one who was real with that.
You need to be able to laugh at each other as well. But that was how I felt, literally. And I mean, I can remember attempting to call him a few weeks later. And there was a master general on the phone that did not want me to have any time with this man because they were protecting him from needless consultations. So I remember saying to this person, would you at least give him the message that I called? Well, I'll pray about it. And I knew what that meant. You ain't getting through, period. When they give you that, I'll pray about it.
Yep.
With an attitude, you can read the attitude.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Well, a couple of hours later, he called. So undoubtedly, she must have prayed a different prayer at that point.
Prayed a little something, something.
God had triggered that he calls. Kim, I don't have any ability that I can see except in between two sessions, because he was in the middle of teaching a seminar down in Connecticut. But if you want to drive down, I'll take that break in the middle and you can come. So I drove from Massachusetts down to the coast because this was right on the waterfront. Beautiful place. I had brought my little tape recorder so that I could tape my conversation. If you remember, at Grace Church, I taped every conversation. Every consultation that I had, there was a cassette that went with the customer or the person. Some were customers, some were just takers, and that's okay too. So now he gives me the insight and the discernment to all the questions that I had. I had listed those questions on a piece of paper so that I wouldn't forget. So he gave me an answer to each one after praying and giving me insight. I'm very excited about being now educated to be able to go forward because of what I was living in and with. So I get in the car, I get back on the highway, and there's finally a rest area, so I'm going to stop because I gotta take my pad that I've got my questions on to connect and, you know, connect all the dots. Every word that came out of his mouth was garbled. I could not comprehend one solitary word on the whole cassette, which was roughly 45 minutes long. Now I'm panicking. How am I going to remember? I'm blaming me. I must have done something wrong, blah, blah, blah. But I remembered.
Got him.
So he did. So I jotted down to the best of my ability the answers to each question. I get home, and a few weeks later, I go to another one of his meetings. I said he was my irritation. And I questioned him, and he started to giggle, which I didn't appreciate at all, because I wanted those answers to rehearse them over and over so I could be sure, you know. But there was nothing to work with, except my memory banks, and I didn't trust them as well. What I'm saying is he had made me aware that I was there for training, not for giving or understanding why he had placed me there. And then a few weeks later, someone decided to leave and go on a sabbatical. And there was a slot open. And of course, I want to help change everything.
Amen. Right? Amen. Amen. Put it in order. Yep.
So I was about to give my name as an option to fill the slot. And I'm sitting in my pew on a Sunday morning, and everything is very quiet. There's a little bit of organ music playing, very low, and I hear these words. What you perceive as rejection is my protection. Well, that wasn't my word. I knew that didn't come from me. There's no way my brain could think this way. What you perceive as rejection is my protection. And I said, oh my God. That flipped me over like a pancake. And I said, okay. I don't mind being protected. And it awakened me that there was a purpose, and then I began to remember some of the quotes that he had given me. Because you see, some of your teachers are at this level. Some of the other teachers in your life are going to be at this level. Others will be at this level. Others will be here. Glean. Take what God allows to come through me and take it. And then, if you find one of a higher order, don't brush them away.
Come on.
Don't brush them away. If you need to walk on my corpse if I die, you keep on going. Don't you dare take on guilt and condemnation. It's not from the Lord. Don't walk in depression forever. Reach out. Reach out and get some help if you need it. Humble yourself before the Lord. Watch now. 3. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man. Likeness. To be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. All of us, not some. Who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. And I lived there for years. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what that Spirit desires. There's your two levels. The mind of Christ is the higher level. The mind of the flesh is the lower level. Which life do you want to live? Verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And I stress that reality. Nor can it do so. Don't expect your soul to have the answers because it doesn't have it. It doesn't have the power to go forward. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. That is awesome. Think about how much more he's got to take you and me. How much higher he needs to take me before I can really please God. Is he pleasing or is he pleased with me if I'm on that progressive road?
Yes.
Yes, I believe just like you and me, when a child walks the first few steps and my God, they just don't know how to control that balance. You're going to hold out your hand and you're going to just say, go. A side note. On Friday after Thanksgiving, there's quite a few people that are actually in my living room having quite a lot of conversation. And they were loud and boisterous. And they were having a good time. My four-year-old little grandson wants to go in the living room, but he's timid. So I said, you know, Matthew, you can go. It's okay. I'm going to be right because I'm trying to get food ready. And I've got the oven door open. He says, but you come with me.
Come on.
I don't care what that turkey was waiting for. He could have waited for 10 years. I'm going to take my grandson into the living room. So I took his hand and we walked into the living room and he saw his great-grandmother and he went over to her and of course then he switched hands. And I walked back into the kitchen and I said, Jesus, that's what you do with me. You drop everything, including the turkey, to get me into where you want me or need me. Mm-hmm. Your papa can be depended on to drop whatever he's doing to carry you into that next room, that higher place where he wants to take you. Nine, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness, which you inherited and received when you accepted Jesus. 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who lives in you and in me. I can tell you that this word came to life through a song that we sang almost every Friday night when we had a healing service. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, lives in me. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, lives in me, that he will quicken my mortal body if that Spirit lives in me. Yes, he will quicken my mortal body with his Spirit that lives in me. Now may his anointing take you home safely and prepare you for tomorrow night when I believe that you will be blessed and receive the instructions that have been given to our sister in Christ and her husband so that that which has been prepared in the heavens for this house of prayer to be and become everything that he promised. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.